We should have such great faith in His Word that we should never, I mean, we ought to be standing on the Word. Just like Dave said this week, he told me, he said, you know, if I were to fall off of this thing and break a bunch of ribs, I'd have to know I'd done something that God didn't like. So I'd have to say, Lord, I repent. Now then, he'd call, say, I'd have to call y'all, Thurman, or my wife or whatever, y'all get me to the bed and put me in bed. The same God that caused it to happen can fix me. All I got to do is repent of my sins. And I said, that's exactly right, Dave. He'll do it every time. But the secret behind that is just like Dave said, don't get into any kind of sin. Put Him first. Spend time with Him every day. And if you spend time with God every day and put Him first, you won't have to worry about this. It won't be a problem. And Jesus said unto the centurion, as you have believed. That's an awesome statement. As you have believed. All I got to do is believe. Once I repent of sin, all I got to do is believe. In fact, some of you may have saw Sid Roth this last week with the woman that got her mouth split open, that preacher. That woman was a pastor, and she had a big old collie dog, and the dog jumped up on the divan with her and hit her right in the mouth right there and tore a piece as big as a quarter out of her mouth. I mean, just tore it out. She went to the doctor, and they sewed it up. She said she just stood on these promises of God right there in front of her church. She said, you know, God made us these promises. I am not going back. They said I'll have a cleft lip, but I ain't going to have it. And she began to stand on Scripture like Mark 11:23 and began to stand under the new covenant and praise the Lord and thank Him. And the Lord completely healed that mouth. And when He was on there with her, Sid Roth the other night, our mouth was beautiful and everything in it was working perfect. And some of you saw that, didn't you? Yeah, I mean, it was awesome, the good job that God done. But what can God do? Anything. You got to get that in your spirit. Now see, this is where people miss this. Well, I'm healed or I'm prosperous or whatever, and they're walking in sin. And then they go under, they have to declare bankruptcy, or they die, they get sick, and nothing happens. But you said I could do this. But the one thing they forget is nobody tells them to repent of sin. Let's go down to verse 16 and 17. And you remember, a while ago we read in Isaiah 53:4-5 about what He did. This is the fulfillment of that. And when the evening was come, they brought unto Him many that were possessed with demons. And He cast out the spirits with His word and healed all that were sick. That it might be fulfilled which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, Himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses. Now then, if He's already done it under the new covenant, He did it for you, for His body, because we are His body on the earth, and did Jesus want His body to be sick? No. So He paid the price for sickness and for sin. He said, now, I have died on the cross and spilt my blood for sin, so that sin it can no longer be. So therefore, when you accept me, you are dead to sin. Are you dead to sin? You're supposed to be. Now, isn't it wonderful if you... He goes so far to say, how in can a dead man sin? A dead man can't sin, can he? No. You can't sin if you're dead. Well then, what's the problem? That's the only enemy we have, really. Resurrection of the flesh. And when that beast resurrected, it can tell you how the cow eat the cabbage, can't it? As long as we stay dead and stay walking in the Spirit, we stay in the Word of God, and the Word is what's driving us, we don't never sin. I mean, you know, when it comes down to this, like we talked about a while ago, husbands, love your wives, or wives, submit to your husbands, it ain't no problem. You know, a husband does something a wife don't like. Instead of coming back and retaliating him, she just says, looks at him and says, Lord. She just walks off and says, I love you. Walks off and says, Lord, touch that man's heart. He's my husband. You know, he touch his heart. Make him more like Jesus. And Lord, if I've done anything I need to change, work on my heart. If we had people that would do that, they're walking in the Spirit. They ain't walking in the flesh. How many divorces would we have in the church? Zero. There wouldn't be a single thing. Oh, and if every time, young guys especially, real pretty young lady walks in, She walks through the door, and there's four or five young men, Christian men. This young girl walks out. Oh, they're watching her all the way across there. Guys, what are y'all doing? Oh, nothing, nothing. Yeah, you're daydreaming. Does men do that? Oh, yeah, that's right. If they go to a certain point there, if they let their mind run wild, they're guilty of adultery, and they just fell from grace back under the law. And the demons of hell are saying, oh, I got him. Yeah. They love it. Yeah, they'll get you. And then sickness and disease will come upon you. And you know, or death. See, the Lord says that when sin is complete, it brings forth death. So, every time a young man looks at a woman to lust for her in his heart, under the new covenant, he's guilty of adultery. So what he's done is opened the door to the law, to the demons of hell, and a few demons of hell enter you, and it begins a death and sickness process in your body. And most men don't know that. Of course, you know, he also says in the book of Proverbs, you know, stay away from the prostitute's house, because her doorway is a pit. It goes to the pit of hell, and it will cost you your life. Yeah, that's why when I see a woman in church, I tell women, you need, just like the scripture says, you need to dress modestly. You know, if you're a Christian woman, don't come to church with a dress on that's way out here that comes down to your navel to a point. You know, don't do that. No. I mean, but do you know what I mean? Yeah, but you need to be covered up. You know? And you need to be dressed appropriately. Don't show your private parts to the world. Keep them covered up. That's right, because it causes people to sin. That's exactly right. You know, so, but that causes men to sin, and that opens the door to the demonic spirits of hell, and they start whittling away on your life, and first thing you know, if you're not careful, you'll have a spirit of lust in you, and then it won't be long till you'll be dead. Either that or you'll be sick. On Matthew 8:17, look at this. That it might be fulfilled. He just done in verse 16, he cast out devils, healed the sick, and then he said, all this happened that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, himself, Jesus, took our infirmities and bare our sickness. Now, if Jesus took my weaknesses, my infirmities, and he bore my sickness, then I'm going to let him keep them. I'm not going to have them. I'm going to stand on his word. But he also said he died on the cross to take my sin so I can be dead to sin and I don't have to sin no more. So what are we going to do there? We're going to stop sinning. I want to stay dead. As long as I stay dead and walk in the Spirit, I can't. The scripture says you cannot sin. Is that what it said, Joseph? Right. You cannot sin walking in the Spirit. So, when the beautiful woman walks in, you know, if you happen to turn and look, you take one glance, you say, well, you know, she's a nice-looking lady, praise God. And you stop your thoughts right there. And you go back to talk about something else. And if that woman comes right up to you and she happens to be scantily dressed, even with a low V-neck, you don't look. Look her right in the eye. You don't look at her. You don't look her right in the eye. And therefore, the devil has no legal claim to you. And you can live to be an old, healthy man. And something else I've learned. Guys, everybody really needs to listen to me here. You have no idea. Until I came into the ministry, I had no idea how many men, young men, were impotent. That means they can't have sex. That's why there's so many of these drugs out there that they take, so they can have it. Let me tell you, I've seen everything from impotency to prostate cancer. All these things happen to men that cannot keep their eyes off of women. If they commit adultery with their eyes, you have no idea how many men I've seen with prostate cancer at 40 years old. But yet he can't keep his eyes off of other women. He can't be happy with the one God gave him. Or he commits adultery when he sees a woman and he lusts for her. Or, this is the way I've seen it lots of times, a man and a woman fall in love, but they don't want to get married for another 6 months or a year. But they move in together. And once they move in together, of course they start having sex, just like they're married. But do you all know that's sin? And the scripture says God himself, Jesus Christ, will personally judge every sin of sexual immorality. Which, how many does that mean he misses? None. That's exactly right. None. So you take a young woman, maybe 30 years old. I've seen them 40 years old. Moving together, perfectly normal. Have a perfect sexual relationship for 6 months or a year. And then they get married. And 6 months later, he can't go there. Under no conditions. The longest case I've had was 25 years. A couple came to us. They were missionaries. And they moved in together 6 months before they got married. And everything was normal. They had a normal relationship for about 6 months after they got married. And then all of a sudden, he became totally impotent. He could not have sex if he wanted to. And so when they came to us 25 years later, they had had zero sex in 25 years. Living in the same house, sleeping in the same bed. When I taught on this, they came forth. He said, what can we do? We have that problem. And I had never seen one that long, but that was the first one I've seen that long, 25 years. I told him, I said, y'all are in luck today. The God we serve is a God that forgives everything. Are we glad? They both repented of their sins. Both of them are guilty. They both repented. She was all upset. She wanted a divorce because she hadn't had sex in 25 years. She's married to a man. He won't love her. He won't hold her. And when I said, well, at least won't you hold her and love her? He said, well, why? Can't you do nothing? I said, well, at least you could love her. You could hold her. But he wouldn't do it. I said, well, both of y'all are in luck today. We serve a God that's merciful. I said, I want both of you to ask God to forgive you for your sin of what you did. And they did. I said, now then, I want us to stand on one of the promises in God's Word. One of the promises. Matthew 18:19, under the New Covenant. I want you to look at this wonderful, awesome promise. I also tell you this, if two of you agree down here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it for you. Now, to make that work, you have to get rid of the sin. And that's what so many people today don't know. So they come and try to agree on these wonderful promises God put in His Word, and He don't do nothing because we still got the sin in our life.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety titled, The Lord Will Make Thy Plagues Wonderful, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.